Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, brother. How's everybody doing today?
Good.
Y'all excited to be in church?
Yeah.
You better be excited to be in church. Amen. Hey, guess what? Today we celebrate the third Sunday of Easter. How many of y'all knew there were more than one Sunday of Easter? Hey, things happened back in the day, right? We're going to learn some cool stuff today. Your title for today is this: Restored by the Risen Christ, the Song of Heaven and Earth. Restored by the Risen Christ, the Song of Heaven and Earth. How many of y'all glad we got a risen Christ? Amen. Hey, remember, I've been talking about with the other religions around the world. They try to celebrate everything but one thing. One thing they can't celebrate, remember? What is it? The risen Christ. None of the other religions have anybody that rose from the dead. Amen? We have Jesus. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad to be restored by that risen Christ today. And that should put a definitely song of heaven and earth in our hearts, shouldn't it? So worthy is the Lamb, right? Worthy is the Lamb, the Song of Heaven. I don't know about you, but that gets me a little excited. How about you guys? Hey, our main scripture today is going to come from the book of John, chapter 21, verses 1 through 19. John 21, verse 1 through 19. And the NIV version says this way: Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, the two other disciples, and two other disciples were together. I'm going to go out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat. But that night, they caught what? Nothing. Nothing, zippo, right? They struck out, right? Yeah. Early in the morning, we got just Jesus, don't we? That risen Savior. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, Friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish that they caught. Then the disciple who Jesus loved said to Peter, It is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, It is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the full net, or net full of fish. For they were not far from shore. They were only about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire, the burning coals, there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, Bring some of the fish that you've just caught. So Simon Peter climbed back in the boat and dragged the net to shore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, Come and have breakfast. And none of the disciples dared to ask him, Who are you? They knew that it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This is now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I do. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, take care of my sheep. And then the third time, he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was a little hurt because Jesus had asked him for the third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. Sorry about that. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you to where you do not want to go. And Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. Follow me. Let's pray real fast. Heavenly Father, Lord, as always, I ask you right now, Lord, get Ronnie out of the way today, Lord. Allow your Holy Spirit to speak through me, Jesus. And Lord, as always, may you open our heart, mind, and soul, Lord, to the blessing and the message that you have for us, Lord. Lord, may we continue to worship our risen Savior, Lord. May we truly have the song of heaven and earth in our hearts, Lord. Lord, that we would want nothing more than to grow closer to you each and every day, Lord. Lord, that we would want somebody to see us and know that there's just something different about us, Lord. Lord, but to be curious enough to ask us to tell them, Lord. Lord, we ask you just to be with the rest of the service. In your name I pray. Amen. Think about that again. What was that? Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. The song of heaven and earth. Your first scripture is actually going to come from the book of Revelations, chapter 5, verse 11 through 14. Revelation 5, 11 through 14, NIV version, says it this way. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000s times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice, they were saying, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea, and all of them, and all of this in them, saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, to be praised and honor and glory and power forever and ever. The four living creatures said, amen. And the elders fell down and they worshiped. They fell down and they worshiped. Again, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Somebody say it today. Type it in the comments if you're watching online. Because he truly is worthy, isn't he? Worthy is the Lamb. We got an Easter hope going around right now, don't we? And we worship in light of the risen Lamb. Amen. Because Christ truly is risen, isn't he? He is risen indeed. As we walk through this Easter season, the joy of the resurrection continues to reverberate throughout the church. But today we're going to step into a vision far beyond that empty tomb. A vision from the very throne room of heaven. Y'all might remember who wrote Revelations. Remember, it was John, right? John the Revelator gives us a breathtaking glimpse in Revelations 5, 11 through 14. It's not just an image of future glory, is it? But it is a song for us for today as well. And it reminds each one of us that worship itself is a natural response to the victory of the Lamb that was slain and now lives forever on high. We see the cosmic choir in there, don't we? Verse 11, it says, then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. John truly hears a vast multitude of angels. Their numbers defy calculations. This is not a small celebration, is it? But this is heaven's mass choir gathering to proclaim the glory of our risen Christ. And it's not just the angels, is it? In verse 13, we see every creature in heaven and where? On earth. It ain't just in heaven that it's going to be declaring it, is it? The resurrection has cosmic consequences. It doesn't just bring back life into one tomb, but it sets off a celebration into every realm of creation. The question for us is this, though. Are we joining the song? Are we singing along? Are we singing along? Amen? Because truly worthy is the Lamb, isn't he? Verse 12. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. To the heart of this passage, this is truly the heart of Easter, isn't it? Jesus is worthy. Not just because he is strong, right? Not just because he is wise, right? But because he was slain, he is truly worthy. The cross is not a tragedy to be mourned. Amen? But it is truly a foundation of our victory. And look at what he is worthy to receive. Power, wealth, praise, wisdom, strength, honor, glory. Seven attributes. Seven attributes, guys. Seven is truly the number of completeness in Revelation. That's total worship, total honor, total praise, total worship, amen? Nothing is at all is held back, is it? What are we holding back today from Jesus in our own lives? Are you holding something back? Because we truly see every creature joins in that song. Verse 13 again says, "Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea, and all this is in them." And all that is in them. The vision itself expands, don't it? Again, it's not just the angels singing. It's not just the people, is it? But it's every creature. Right? I mean, dog, cat, right? Creature. Every creature on earth is singing. All of creation sings. It's the ultimate fulfillment of Psalms 150. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. The resurrection breaks the curse for our sin and death, don't it? The groaning creation of Romans 8 finds its voice here. The Lamb's victory reaches down to every corner of existence, every being, every breath, every place. Amen? Even now, even today, guys, Easter people are invited to echo this tomb or this song in our daily lives. To let out our work, let our love, let our prayers and praise rise up like music to the throne. And we would truly be able to worship him, won't we? Verse 14 again says, "The four living creatures said amen, and the elders fell down and worshiped." It all ends. It all ends. Or perhaps begins in worship, don't it? The only fitting response to the vision is to fall down and say, "Amen. Glory to God. Praise you, Lord. Amen." Let it be so in heaven. Let it be so in each one of us as well. Worship is not a warm-up for something else. It is the ultimate act of recognition. Seeing Jesus for who he truly is and responding with our whole being. The resurrection of Jesus isn't just a past event, is it? But it is truly a present reality and a future promise for each one of us. Revelation 5 shows us that heaven and earth are already ringing with the sound of His victory. So today, on this third Sunday of Easter, join the song. Let your life be great, be part of that great chorus. To Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor, glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Because we can truly have and be restored by that risen Christ. Because He truly restores, He feeds, and He recommissions all of us, His followers, for kingdom missions, don't He? Christ's resurrection inaugurates a new creation and renews His people and it commissions us to bear witness to the gospel. Easter itself is not the end of the gospel story, is it? But it is the beginning of all new creation. In John 21, the risen Jesus re-engages His disciples, not with judgment, right? But with restorative grace. Through the biblical theology, we see the scene not only as a personal moment with Peter and the disciples, amen, but also as a theological echo of God's redemptive purposes throughout the Scriptures. We see Jesus appearing by the sea, the setting, the Sea of Tiberias in Galilee. It's significant. It was the place of their first calling. This is a recommissioning scene, mirroring the original call for discipleship that Jesus had with them. Like Adam, hiding under after failure, Peter may be retreating into familiar work after denying Christ. Yet God Himself always seeks the fallen. He always seeks us as fallen. Amen. Jesus, like Yahweh in the garden, purposes His people with grace, not wrath. The disciples' night of fruitless labor reflects the toil and the futility under the curse. But the resurrected Christ brings an abundance and a renewal to us. The risen Christ comes to recall each one of us. Just as He first called us, He meets us in our exile. He meets us in our shame. And He invites us back into His mission. Jesus' command to put your net out on the other side leads to a miraculous catch, don't it? Just like Genesis 1, where God's Word creates abundance from emptiness. The sea often represents chaos and unfruitfulness. Yet here, under Christ's command, it yields a fullness signifying the restoration of creation under the rule of our risen Lord. John truly was a beloved disciple, wasn't he? He recognizes Jesus by the miracle. Like Emmaus' disciple, who knew Jesus in the breaking of the bread. Peter's leap into the water should echo his earlier zeal. Yet it is now tempered by repentance and love. Jesus, the Word through whom all things are made, is also the one who restores creation and He directs our mission. In His resurrection, we have a glimpse of the beginning of the new heavens and the new earth. By preparing that meal of breakfast for His disciples, that's a Eucharist in tone and a pastoral in action. It invokes a divine hospitality of God through the Scriptures. In Exodus 16, manna in the wilderness. Psalm 23:5, You prepare a table before me. Isaiah 55:1-2, an invitation to a free feast. In John 6, Jesus has the bread of life. The invitation to bring their own fish shows that a partnership of grace and a human response that God provides. But also, He uses what we bring to the table. The risen Christ did not stand aloof. He serves us. The resurrection does not remove His humility, but it does exalt it, don't it? In our weaknesses, in our hunger, He feeds us with Himself. Jesus asked Peter, y'all remember what He asked him three times? Somebody tell me. Sorry, don't lie. Do you love me? Amen. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? I don't know about you, but I might have been a little bit more upset than what Peter was. I don't like being asked the same thing three times, right? If you ain't get it from the first one or two, I might get the same thing, a little bit of stern answer back, right? Do you love me? But that was paralleling Peter's three denials of Jesus. This is a gracious undoing of Peter's failure. Like Jacob becoming Israel after wrestling, or Isaiah being cleansed in the temple, or Jonah recommissioned after rebellion, Peter himself is restored, not to the sidelines, right? Not to the side. He wasn't just relegated, right? Or you'll be able to do something, right? But he was restored to full leadership. Amen? The call to feed my sheep reflects the shepherding role of God Himself. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, entrusts this role to Peter. This truly affirms the church as God's flock, led by under-shepherds, empowered by grace, not performance, right? It's empowered by grace, not performance. The resurrection means that grace has the last word in the matter. Not sin, no sin, not even denial, right? Can disqualify a repentant heart of ours. But ministry flows from love for Jesus, not perfection, right? Love for Him, not perfection. None of us will be perfect till we get to heaven, are we? So we have to have it out of love for Jesus. Jesus tells Peter that following Him will end in martyrdom, stretching out His hands, echoing the crucifixion. Just as the suffering servant bore our sins, Peter now shares in that suffering. His death will glorify God, just as Jesus did for us. And the resurrection itself does not cancel suffering, does it? But it does reframe it as glory. Your suffering will be glory. This is truly a pattern of death and resurrection. Cross and the crown, seen throughout redemptive history. Christ's resurrection does not call us to safety, does it? But it calls us to faithfulness, to being faithful to Him, right? To follow the risen Lord is to embrace costly love. But it is the path of a true life for us. Follow me, right? Follow me. His final words to Peter are the same as His first words were. Right? Follow me. From Genesis to Revelation, God's redemptive purpose has been to restore a fallen people and to invite them into a covenant relationship and a mission. In John 21, we see the risen shepherd gathering His sheep, feeding them, healing them, and sending them out to feed others. This Easter season, may we hear the voice of Jesus afresh. Do you love me? Do you love Him? Do you still love Him? Have you stepped back like Peter did? Have you denied Him somewhat? Do you love Him? Follow Him. Follow him in restoration if you need restored. Follow him in witness every single day. And also follow him in a joyful sacrifice for that risen King that restored our lives. As we come for the final song, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as always, I thank you for getting me out of the way today, Lord. Allowing your Holy Spirit to speak through me, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for the blessing in your message, Lord. Lord, I thank you for sending your Son to die on that cross for us, Lord. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to have that song in our hearts to sing on heaven and earth, Lord. Lord, I thank you for you being the one, Lord. Truly worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise, Lord. Every creature on earth, every creature, not just us, as your sons and daughters, Lord, but every creature will sing the song for your praise and worthiness in the end, Lord. Lord, we just ask you, Lord, to put somebody in front of us this week, Lord, that we can tell about your mercy, Lord, and your grace, Lord. Lord, more importantly, about your forgiveness, love, and your love, Lord. Not a condemnation, Lord, but a true compassionate love for each one of us, Lord. Lord, totally unconditional, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for each and everything that you do. In your name I pray, and everybody say it.
Amen. Amen.